WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are positively and faintly seafood, where they steam it. Oyster, clam, shrimp, mussel, lobster. The world famous Lexington Market since 1782. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery. Got some instant lottery scratch off tickets. And one right here from my friend and controller, and a guy I endorsed when I was a city resident. We welcome Bill Henry back onto the program. Also, our friends at Window Nation here, 866-90-NATION. I want to put the hat on for some fun a little bit later on here. It's a rainy day, so it keeps it raining.
Nice. This is my rain hat.
We got floppy hat. What do you got? Who are you promoting here?
I got
Rebuilding Together Rebuilding Baltimore. Okay, well, that's just as important as Window Nation is. Maybe Window Nation can help rebuild Baltimore. How are you? I would say this for the friendships of Baltimore and the people we know. My favorite part of Baltimore is I can just be walking around and just run into people I know everywhere who yell at me and I yell back. But opening day is that day, right? Opening day, I spend 3 hours in here and people are yelling at me. I'm giving away lottery tickets. People are winning money. We're eating fish. We're having a good time. And then I wandered over to Pratt Street Ale House, and 100.7 was over there, my friends at the Bay. And then I wandered up to the stadium by the Hilton, and there you are on opening day with your wife in good spirits. Springsteen, you went to Earth, Wind, and Fire, and I didn't. Somehow I got screwed.
I didn't get to go to Earth, Wind, and
you
Fire.
You had tickets, though.
I had to give my tickets to my deputy. That's her job. Erica McClammy's job is to be at things when I can't be at them, and in this case, I couldn't be at Earth, Wind, and Fire, and she was.
Well, I was upset everybody was there but me, but I did get to see the Eagles. Look, I just had Ron Legler here from the Hippodrome, and I know you know him, and yeah. I know you know Damie. I moved to the county 15 months ago, and I'm in the city 3-4 days a week. I was at Captain Larry's yesterday, and I'll be here again this week, and concerts coming. There are things bringing me here.
Yeah.
Like, the Orioles are bringing me here. I was in Maui last week, but on Friday night, I would have either been at Chicago or I would have been at Adam Sandler.
If you told me you'd come back from Hawaii because he had tickets, I'd be impressed.
No, I wouldn't go do that. But seeing my friends, my acquaintances, my business people, all back in the city, whether it's for an Oriole game or whether it's for Bruce Springsteen or whether it's for Janet Jackson next week, or in my case, Anita Baker the following.
With Babyface.
Well, I'll be there. I'll be there for Anita Baker. The city is bringing people back. All of the things we talked about here when we were masked up and you've sat here with me personally before when you were a candidate and running and council and all that, you've worked on, this has been your life project. I said this to my wife after you ran into you. I'm like, you know, you're one of those guys, you probably could have done something else with your gig without being a politician, but you've gone this direction. Do you feel, do people at City Hall, I mean, it's one thing to throw out plaudits and wishes and hopes and whatever, but it starts to feel like the city's, whatever bottoming out was during the plague, and a lot of places bottomed out, there, including Maui. I was over there, and people were just like, it was messier, too. We had no tourists, right? Everybody struggled. But we're coming out of this thing, and we're starting to see progress. I see it. I feel it. And I want to champion it, and I know you're in the middle of it. And it really, you've talked to me a million times. We need a tax base. We need people to spend money in the city. When you come down here, you're giving Uncle Bill 10 cents that we're going to put toward the next thing that's going to make the city better. Kind of, sort of, right?
One of the reasons that I love your show is because I have tried to be positive about Baltimore the whole time. Like, we've had good days, we've had bad days, we've had good years and bad years. But Baltimore is strong. Baltimore is resilient. And even during the bad times, you know there are good times coming. And, you know, I accept the fact that people see me as a politician, and that I'm an elected official, but what I really think of my profession is I'm a community developer. And I've done community development as a member of a nonprofit staff. I've done community development as staff to elected officials. I've done community
development. You were a community organizer, literally. That was your right?
I will make the subtle distinction. I say this only because I have friends who are community organizers who I respect too much to claim their gig. Like, there are people who are community organizers, and there are people who work in community development. And
well, community organizers don't necessarily have political aspirations for themselves.
They
don't want to run for office. They just want to make sure that the person that runs for office is doing the right thing.
They want to make sure, community organizers want to make sure that the community's voice is heard. And that is something that I am with 100%. I have always been a believer in community empowerment, whether I was an elected official or just an angry community person myself.
What made you angriest, and what have you done about it?
What made me angriest? Wow.
Well, what got you involved?
Something
pisses you off to get you involved. Okay. I mean, it did me with Baltimore Positive, and I told you the night it was. It was the night when Kathy's running the city and about to go to prison, and I didn't know it, and my wife had just gotten out of the hospital and survived the first time, and we went to Fells Point in a car, which we never did because before she had cancer, we walked everywhere.
Yeah.
We would never get in our car and drive to Fells Point. I'm stupid. But it was a cold night, and we got in the car, and my wife was bald and just alive and hanging on to life and trying to have a dinner. And we went into Fells Point, and I got harassed, not held up. Nobody had a gun, nothing. Just, it was more bullshit than I should have had to deal with on a Friday night, and certainly more than Ron Furman or any of my friends that own businesses. In this case, it was Sammy's I don't know Sammy. I've never met, but it was the Enateca he had built Roto's was. It's long gone now. But like, I saw someone like me, a local person, putting all my life investment into an Italian restaurant on the strip in Fells Point and seeing nobody helping the guy. Right? You know what I mean? And I'm there and I'm like, this pissed me off. And I was going to run for mayor. I've told everybody knows that, right? Like, this was a loud, I'm going to do whatever I can do to raise hell because I was pissed. So I'm with you, you know? That's what made Baltimore Positive, swear to God, Baltimore Positive happened that night because I'm like, I'm done with Angelos and Bisciotti, who's now thrown me. Like, I'm done glorifying these billionaire sports teams. That's great. They'll come down to do whatever they do. But they're here so that Damien can sell crab cakes, so that we can have a tax base, so you can get money and help people that really live here that need help, that we can help schools, all the problems we have here. And here's a business owner that built a business, and I'm sitting in it, and I'm getting harassed on the way in, on the way out, while sitting at the table. It wasn't good, and I felt like I'm pissed and I want to do something. That if you and I get to dinner tonight, go down to Philly, it won't happen. That won't be the case tonight. So for that, for you, Brandt, for all of you.
So a difference has been made.
Without question.
Right.
This is a better city than the city was that night. Now I'm talking riots, 15, 16, 17.
Oh, yeah.
Trump.
This is
the plague.
Almost
a decade ago now.
Yesterday was the eighth anniversary of Freddie Gray's funeral.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we are
moving into the 8-year anniversary of all the uprising, the curfew, everything.
I looked out the window that night, Bill. I lived on the 23rd floor of Harbor Court, and my wife had just survived, and she couldn't sit in the sun because she had a bone marrow transplant.
Okay.
So we went to the islands, and she had to stay kind of on the porch for 4 days, but she was so happy to do. We flew home, opened our iPad, and the city's on fire.
Yeah.
And my wife saw this landing itself. When I landed on an international flight, I had to, you know, I'm in that holding tank, and my phone's blowing up, and everybody's telling me not to go home. You can't go back into the city. You can't go home. I'm like, my cat's home. I'm going home. And I went home that Monday night, and the Capitals were playing the Islanders in Game 7 of a knockout. It was April's now, right? And I looked out the window on the 23rd floor, and I saw the fireball over in Northeast Ball. I mean, I saw a fire that was 10 stories high. It was on the east side by Harford Road. There was a facility that was lit on fire.
Right.
There was a man who built I think it was a church, right? I don't know what it was. I have a video of that fireball. And I turned to my wife. It was the first period of the hockey game. And we unpacked. We're just walking in the city. And we're like, I said, this is not good. This isn't good for conventions. It's not good for anything. And then the next week, Angelos decided to play a baseball game with tanks circling the stadium. And Cowherd wrote that by. To me, I'm still like 8 years later. What happened there, we're recovering from that night, from that fireball. I'll never forget it, because I said to my wife, we're in trouble here. You know, I lost $250,000 selling my place, right? But I wouldn't now. The person that bought my place isn't going to have that problem, I don't think, over the next 10 years, because I come in here 3-4 days a week, and I see things getting better, and I mean it. And I saw it at CFG Bank. I saw it on opening day.
Yeah.
3 weeks later, I'm back down here. What are you seeing? Because something got you angry to get involved in this, to say, I want something better than what I had that night in Fells Point.
Well, I think I told you the story back when I first came on the program in 19, when I was running for comptroller. I told you the story of how I was sitting in a hearing in City Hall, and I was listening to the city auditor at the time explaining that they had completed a series of audits that were critical of some of the performance of city agencies, but that the finance director at the time had argued that they should be held off from being publicly released. And the former comptroller had decided to agree with the finance director and overrode her own city auditor and did this. And this was at a time when it was publicly known.
Yeah, it's a public assignment.
Well, that she was friends with the mayor, like personal friends with the mayor. They owned a business together. And I remember sitting there thinking, you know, if I was the comptroller and I was personal friends with the mayor, I'd be bending over backwards to do what I could to avoid anything that looked like a conflict of interest. Like, I was trying to do things to protect the mayor. It's like, we deserve better than that. And that was really when I crystallized the decision that I was going to go from being a council person and taking care of the neighborhood that I lived in and the neighborhoods right around it to worrying about the whole city.
And, well, it is connected.
Yeah.
As a county resident now and a county business owner, I've always been a county business owner, 25 years now, right? There's no line up there on 83 yeah. where that orange sign sits, you know, that says city, county, and we're all in this together. And the people in the county that bag on the city, I won't have it. I'll put a stop to it.
Long before I was elected to anything, I used to work with it was called Citizens Planning and Housing Association. I think they're changing the name to Community Planning and Housing Association. But they were the organization that was really pushing hard for more regionalism back in the 90s and the early 2000s, trying to find more ways and more opportunities for Baltimore City, Baltimore County, Anne Arundel County to all connect. Because, like you said, there is no, it's not like there's an actual wall
gate, right?
You know, between, like, our problems are their problems are our problems. You know, I told
friends, I'll stay out here in the county, it'll be fine. No.
And those friends of mine out in the county who would say things like that, they're like, oh, well, that's why I moved out here, to get away from this in the city or that in the city. I would say, listen, there's no wall. If there's a problem in the city, it's going to be your problem. You just need to wait a little bit, because if everybody isn't pulling together to strengthen the city and make the city as vibrant and positive as you can, any problems we're having are going to inevitably slide and spread out from the city. You know, maybe 695 might be a little bit of a firewall or a fire break or whatever, but
you driven on 695 lately? They believe me, the guy did 80 Paring Parkway yesterday. No, I almost tweeted. I'm like, I can't live in a 80 miles an hour on the freeway.
They came out and said that.
Well, you say the city
that,
problems
that
and like whatever
that accident on 695.
On the west side.
Yeah, that like they've now formally ruled that both of those cars were speeding.
Of course they were.
And as a result, between the speeding and just absolutely awful luck when it comes to where they've set up the barriers, now we've lost.
If you slow down, you give yourself a chance. You know what I mean?
And others.
Well, you have to give yourself a chance. Bill Henry's here. He is our controller in Baltimore City. Always of pop culture and sports, and you do all of this stuff. But, I mean, you got to get – how is the city doing? And tell me about revenues with CFG Bank in the stadium and people coming down. There are more people downtown this spring than there have been in a number of springs. That should leave behind some money. It should leave behind some growth. We talk about the Inner Harbor and whatever's going to happen there with new development. And I hope to have David on the program at some point, too. How are we doing? Have we picked up from the plague?
So, as is so often the case, we've got good news and we've got bad news. We're just kicking off budget season right now. The finance department has presented a preliminary budget. But for one thing, it would have been a really good budget year. Revenues were up. We would have had a small surplus to apply to all the things that we need to be putting more
potholes
into. You could go with infrastructure. You could go with providing young people more meaningful things to be doing after school and on weekends in the summer. Because I consider providing young people with more things to do, that's crime prevention.
Like, correct.
That is real public safety investment, is when you tell kids, hey, we care about you. We want to help you do good stuff. But instead, what happened was there was one little aspect of the Kerwin formula for this big new change at the state level that is providing more money to schools from the state, but at the local cost of encouraging/requiring the localities to put more money in. And there was something flubbed in the projections and the equations, and we ended up having to put an extra $79 million into schools from the local government. Now, that's not 79 total. That's an extra 79 on top of the almost $400 million we were already putting in. But that extra 79 that we weren't expecting ate up all of the surplus revenue and then some. And we had to dig into our fund balance to keep from having to actually cut services.
Well, how is the summer looking on the service? I mean, pools and the things that we talk about for kids. And crime goes up in the summer, right?
Right.
We all know, we know this, right?
Yeah.
And we've talked about curfews and all, but you're Brandon talking about all of that. Where are we with providing a better summer in the city than maybe it was 10 years ago?
Again, good news and bad news. First of all, if you haven't had a chance to go down to the new Middle Branch Fitness and Wellness, I mean, it's not officially the Cherry Hill Rec Center, but, oh my God, it is a thing of beauty. It is an absolutely gorgeous facility. First time I was in it, my thought was, this could be the rec center for a world-class private university. I mean, it's really nice. And it's an incredible new amenity for technically the whole city, but effectively for the community around Middle Branch. So we're doing these great new improvements and additions around the city. Downside is in a couple places, the amenities that we're trying to improve, like the Patterson Park pool springs to mind, but there's another big pool that I'm blanking on right now. But in order to fix them, in order to do the repairs and the improvements that we need to do, the construction season for making those repairs is the exact same time of the year that
it needs to be
the
used.
Community would want to be using it. And so that's going to be a hit over definitely this summer and maybe next summer for a couple of our big pools. Is we're going to be fixing them and improving them, and that's a good thing, but it means they're going to be offline while we do that.
Bill Henry is here. We're at Fadley's, and at some point I'll get to sports with you a little bit and let you opine on the Lamar, you know.
I'm happy to opine on Lamar, but I also want to say, so far I've only been to two games, two Orioles games this season, but we are 2-for-2. Relish has won each time.
Good luck, Charm, for Relish, Bill Henry. But for sports in the city, and I'm a sports guy, right? Yeah. I mean, I'm here. My last name's Aparicio. You know, like, I'm here because of baseball. So to have a relevant baseball team and the football team to get Lamar, and at least that there's now confidence that there's going to be
an offense.
Well, a chance to win. Yeah. You know, a chance to compete, which is something that the Ravens usually have 12 months a year, and the Orioles almost never have had, right, in the last 30 years.
You're going to have an entire nation of Ravens fans who are looking at the coming season going, if we can just keep everybody healthy, we can go all the way.
Right. Well, that's a that's all you want is hope, right? Yeah. You're in the business of selling hope.
And we definitely
and the baseball team hasn't had that in a long time.
We have we definitely have what we need to hope for. On the football side, on the baseball side, I got to say, I've felt better this year than I have in a long... Like, my daughter is 17. She's graduating from high school. She doesn't have a clear memory of the Orioles being a great team. She has no clear memory of them being a baseball powerhouse. And I'm really looking forward to seeing the kids who are growing up now get to have that for their life. Like when we were kids, the Orioles were great.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like that was a
Bill,
thing.
Bill, I'll say I was in Hawaii last weekend on Sunday, after the Chicago and Adam Sandler. And I mean I'm just on Facebook and I'm on the beach looking down and everybody I knew. Now I'm 55. I know some people a little younger and a lot of my friends had kids later in life. So they're in their 40s, and they have kids. You're a little older for a 17-year-old as well. My kid's 38, right? So it is what it is, right? But a lot of my friends do have under 18 years of age. I'd say under 14 years of age, running the bases, going down there on Little League Day.
Yeah.
And I said to myself, I don't have any pictures of me doing that because the Orioles were so friggin' arrogant for so long. When my kid was 10 years old is when Angelos bought the team, early 90s. The field, oh, that's just for important people. You can't, you know, that's not for the great unwashed. And there's this thing about seeing the kids there having that kind of day, and they won. Yeah. There were 38,000 people there. It was a real Little League day. And I'm thinking, well, that's a good step for them, that these children would want to come back, because baseball moves at a glacial pace. It's hard to understand, you know, especially if you're not from America.
Not a glacial pace anymore.
Right. That
pitch clock.
That's changed everything about the experience, even for a guy that loves baseball, that began to not love baseball. And the shift and four-hour games and bad baseball and awful ownership and just all of that makes you not engage with it. But then you come back now where they're good, and you say, this is a good place to get back on the train.
Yeah.
You know, you can go buy an Adley Rutschman jersey and still be an Oriole fan, and we're 35. But that's bringing people into the city for your job and for what we're trying to do around here, selling things and making the city better. The Orioles are designed to bring the person from the county who says, I'm not coming to the city. That's going to be an entry point for them. It might be a Chicago concert. It might be probably not going to be a meal. It's going to be the meal with the event, right? You're going to come down and go to the Hippodrome and grab a bite to eat. And you're going to discover something, but it's going to be an event. And CFG Bank Arena and the Orioles, all this is happening at the same time. You're in a good seat right now. I think you're going to look like a good politician before it's all over, because I think this city's going to be better the next time you run, which is soon, right? It's not far off.
Soon. We are just about a year out from the next primary.
Right. Less than that for campaigning, right?
Oh, yeah. Most campaigns will kick off in the next 2 months.
Right. All right. So we're at that point. I think you, and to some degree, Brandon, whenever the time comes there, you mentioned a controller and a mayor being tied at the hip. Where are you and Brandon in all this? I mean, you guys served here. You must have met him. He was a puppy, right? He was a very young he was a very young person when you met him, right? Literally.
He still is
a young person.
I'm pretty sure I met Brandon shortly after he started working in the city council president's office back when I was a council person in my first term. And one of my earliest memories of Brandon was walking from the fourth floor up to the fifth floor where my office was, and he came into the stairwell and passed me on the stairs, taking the stairs two at a time. And my first thought when I saw him do that was, I remember when I used to do that when I was 23 and I was working in the council president's office. And I have been happy to watch Brandon go that whole route from being staff, the council president's office, to being a council person, to being council president.
He's done it the right way.
And now being mayor. That's the way you should do it. I appreciate what he's done. I appreciate what he's tried to done. Have we agreed on everything? No. Like, we're two different people. Like, we don't always agree. The lack of 100% consensus doesn't stop us from both trying to do everything we can do to make the city better. And working together is a much better way of moving the city forward than constantly fighting.
Biggest issues in the city that you'd like to see, beyond crime, obviously, but things that would be benchmarks for, is it getting better? Is it getting, because we're all, taking the temperature, is it getting better? Is it getting worse? I'm here saying it's getting better. I see it. I know it. I feel it. I have no reason to say that other than I'm honest and I come down here and I look around. That's my reputation over 31 years, calling it the way it is. It's getting better. It is.
One of the things that gets easier as you get older is to take a long-term perspective on things. And it's really hard at government at any level to make real change fast enough for it to be part of a 4-year electoral cycle. And a lot of elected officials fall into this trap of, I got to do things that make things look better quickly because I got to be able to point to that when I'm running for re-election a year from now, 2 years from
now,
3 years.
That's a universal issue in our society.
That's just an issue with having a democratic process and having regular elections.
You need to be popular.
And one of the things that a little age gives you perspective on is some of the things we face need long-term solutions. That's why I've been pushing the idea of increasing the amount of youth development we invest in. When they talk about, what's the song? The children are our future.
Right.
If you can make sure that today's kids grow up to be tomorrow's well-supported, high-functioning, productive members of society, you won't have a crime problem in the future.
You get a better community.
You'll have a better, easier community. It'll be easier at that point to take all the resources that right now we're putting into a police department to fight crime. And I remember I'm trying to remember his name. Tom Murphy. He was the mayor of Pittsburgh. And now he's a consultant for the Urban Land Institute. And he did a workshop for local elected officials a couple years ago for a conference here in Baltimore. And he started the workshop off with, how many of you are from cities where you don't have enough money?
everybody
raises their hand. But I was sitting up front. So he comes and he stands and he looks right down at me. He goes, what's the annual operating budget for your city? And I realized where he was going, and I started to look really sheepish. And I was like, $2.5 billion. And he goes, with the microphone, $2.5 billion. And he looks out of the room, he goes, how can you say you don't have any money when you have $2.5 billion? And then he looks at all of us and he says, your problem isn't that your cities don't have any money. Your problem is that you're not spending it on what you want to spend it on. You're spending it on what you think you have to spend it on. And there are all these things that we want to be putting more investment into, but we can't because we're doing things we have to do. And if we, it's what's the old expression? You can't. You're so busy fighting alligators, you don't have time to drain the swamp.
Right.
Like, we need to put resources and time and effort into draining the swamp. It doesn't pay off right away. It doesn't help you get reelected next year. But 8, 12, 16 years down the line, you'll have fewer alligators. And then you'll be able to really do what you want to do with your resources. And that's what I'm pushing for.
Bill Henry's here. He's the controller of Baltimore City. A good Baltimorean here. And you can vote for him later if you live in the city. We're selling crab cakes here and promoting the Maryland Lottery. I have the Maryland Crab Cake Tour. It's presented by the Maryland Lottery in conjunction with our friends at Window Nation. We're down at Fadley's in the old Lexington Market, about to be the new Lexington Market. You see these things that I keep saying, and I don't want to suck up to a politician too much, but progress, the word progress. Progress is that there is a new Lexington Market, yeah, 50 feet away.
Yeah.
This place is going to be there soon.
Yeah.
I walked through there on opening day. These are the reasons. I'm not BSing people. Yeah. I come down and I walk around and I see things getting better. I see businesses that I love, like, yeah, Amici's getting better, and, yeah, people in there and people eating.
Oh,
and,
Amici's.
Yeah. So, but I could mention a dozen different restaurants and places. Go ahead.
The Pane Toronto.
Pane Rotondo.
Pane Rotondo.
Rotondo.
Pane Rotondo.
That means round bread.
It used to be like a whole actual bowl.
Yeah, they do. They do.
And now they just have a big round slice of bread with the shrimp and the scampi sauce on top. Yeah, I'm just saying, times change.
I'm gonna talk to Jody over there. I think they will dispute this over on High Street before it's all over.
I will definitely come check.
All right. Well, you and I can get a meal over to Meachie's anytime
you want.
They don't do crab cakes over there, but that doesn't mean I'm not down there. So this is my Meachie's thing. This is what you need to do when you go over there. You order the garlic cheese bread toast, toast, all right? Yeah. And then you order the meatball ricotta side.
Oh, yeah.
And then
you
cut the meatballs in half and you put them on the bread and you make little meatballs.
You make open meatballs up.
With cheese and garlic and
Now you're gonna force me to talk about
Deepa Crawley's. I get your crab cake right here. Hold on, we got crab cakes coming. Look at this.
How can we?
That's his crab cake.
You get the fried oysters.
I get the fried oysters. That's all right. Well, I'm telling you what. We're gonna step back, take a break, so he can eat that. I can eat this. Peter Jensen's here from the Baltimore Sun. He's gonna be joining us.
Oh, hey, Peter. All right.
He writes things.
Yeah. He's good at it.
I know.
Yeah. Those of us who can't write, we have to talk.
We've only met on the internet. We've never sat next to each other.
Oh, really?
So, yeah.
Okay.
He gave me this whole face made for radio thing. And I'm like, no, that's me. That's me. Face made for radio. Peter Jensen with the Baltimore Suns here. It's all brought to you by Window Nation and our friends at the Maryland Lottery. I'm going to eat these fried oysters. By the way, the crab cake tour has begun. Look at that crab cake.
That is nice looking crab
cake. It's the little tomatoes that are delicious. I had never had a fried oyster. I don't say never, but like it would nothing I would ever order. And Damie brought these to me maybe about a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
And it inspired this summer, my 25th anniversary of NST is August 3rd. We're going to do the third annual tour, but we're going to add oysters this year. So I'm going to do 25 oysters in 25 days in 25 ways.
Okay.
Beginning September 1st to celebrate 25 years. And it's also the kickoff of football season. The Orioles will be in the pennant race. Kids are going back to school. And it's got a month with an R. And speaking of oyster festivals, one going on this weekend right here in the city at Fells Point.
Oh, yeah.
Fells Point,
right, yeah.
You didn't see the sign coming down Pratt Street? The big signs. They have those signs. I'm telling you. Oyster Fest 28th to 30th. Good weather on Saturday and Sunday. But I love oysters, and this is going to be my chance to explore oysters. And Damie has taught me that the oysters and the oxygenation in the bay and the grasses, the oysters are what oxygenates the water that keeps crabs alive. So without these, you wouldn't have these. Correct, and I'm going to teach people that. Bill Henry learns things here on the program, but I learned things following him on social media, including like things about Duran Duran and all sorts of 80s pop culture. No? Is that right? Who's your favorite band?
Oh, my God. I couldn't do that.
You don't have...
I don't have a favorite band.
If I put you on an island, you take 5 CDs. What are you taking? That's a wide range. Anything you want there.
5 CDs. Can I take greatest hits albums?
Sure. Just take five bands. I'm just trying to figure out your real music taste, your real taste. And you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to steal your cocktail sauce because I'm going to do a little cocktail on this.
Well, I have to tell you, I was fortunate enough to get to go see both Bruce and the Eagles. And do you know what I found?
You love the Eagles more?
I know more songs by the Eagles.
Well, you know Bruce songs. He doesn't play them all.
Well, that was the thing. Yeah, like Bruce only played like five songs. I know a bunch of.
See, I'm a Bruce fan, so I know all that stuff.
But the Eagles, like, they were like going down a list, ticking off the songs that I know and love. And
the Eagles were unbelievable. And I'm a Bruce guy,
yeah.
But the Eagles, they're always great. But, and you know, that's the end of the tour. It was the last night of that extended. I mean, they've been doing that Hotel California tour since the plague.
No, I didn't realize.
Now, they've been doing that since before the plague.
But
I was in New York in 2020. So they've been on that tour for almost 3.5-4 years. It's the last night. They had the Baltimore Symphony Orchestra doing the last resort.
Morgan Gospel Choir.
I mean, the whole deal. And I'm thinking to myself, that might be the last time the band ever does the last resort. Because they need an orchestra to do it.
Yeah.
And I celebrated the last line of that song. It's one of the greatest songs ever written about America, The Last Resort. It's a homage to Manifest Destiny, you know?
Yeah.
And we can leave it all behind and sail off to Lahaina, just like the missionaries did so many years ago. They even brought a neon sign and said,
yeah,
Jesus is coming. You know, so I went to Lahaina last week, and there was a sign there that says Jesus is coming.
Oh, nice.
There literally is, right?
Okay.
And it is a neon sign that says Jesus is coming. So and it's obviously been there since 1975. Mick Fleetwood has a place in Lahaina. That's his place.
Yeah.
Fleetwood's, right?
He's, oh, okay.
Mick,
yeah, that
Mick
makes
played,
sense.
Mick
yeah.
plays the drums there twice a month. You can go for $150 and watch his band and in a little room smaller than Fadley's. Beautiful. So he writes this song, and at the end of the song is, they call it paradise. I don't know why. Call someplace paradise, kiss it goodbye. And so that is such a great song.
Yeah.
And I thought to myself, probably my favorite Eagles song, and I thought, man, the last time they might ever play that is in my old Baltimore Civic Center that's dressed up. Look at it. And I went down to the club level. I went to the bathroom during Funk 49.
Okay.
So at the end of the show, because I had to pee, and it's the Eagles, and I get the set list, and I'm like, well, Funk 49 is like a jam thing. I'll be able to run down and pee and come back. I didn't even know where the bathroom was. And I went down into that club level that used to be Function Room 102, 104, 106, the room that I met every rock star ever in when I was a music critic and all that. And I went down there, and it was like a scene from The Shining, Bill. I walked in there, and it was completely empty because the concert was going on.
Oh, yeah.
And it was a couple bartenders, and I was like, I've been in this space my whole life, and they completely pimped it out. There's a Zeppelin poster and the Beatles poster, and it's just this giant, beautiful gathering space that you'd want to be drinking in before the show starts. It's a club level underneath the arena. You haven't been in it yet?
Wait, I'm trying. Like
under the 2-4-6 side.
Did it have the little the video games in the corner, or that's a different space?
That's a different space.
Okay, then no, I wasn't in that one.
It's got Zeppelin. If you peed in there, you would have walked past the Zeppelin and Beatles giant posters because the men's and ladies' rooms are right there. It looks like a beautiful, ornate theater, like a theater lobby. It's beautiful. And I saw it 3/4 way through the show, and I ran down, and I just had to pee, and I'm like, oh, my God. Oh, my God. And I peed, and I ran back, and I said to my wife, you got to pee. She's like, no, I don't. And I'm like, no, you got to pee. And I said, when there's the encore, when they're done and they're going to play Best of My Love and Desperado, you're going to go pee. And she's like, all right. And I said, come with me. And we went down there and she walked. She's like,
wow.
Oh, my God. You know, I'm like, I just went down to pee and I wound up in a different building than I've ever been in my whole life. And I haven't visited it, and Frank Remish hasn't invited me, but I'm going to go down there and check. But it's a different experience, even for a guy that's been in that building my whole life. I went to that Eagles concert, and I felt like, well, you wonder why 3 weeks later I would come here and say to you, I think our city's getting better.
Yeah.
And it's been that's a beautiful thing. I haven't been able to say that much. I really haven't. I've been a lot of bitching, a lot of complaining. The baseball team's getting better. The football team's trying. We fixed the arena.
And that keeps everybody feeling better.
It does.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Appreciate you, Bill Henry.
Appreciate it.
I can vote for you all over again. I'll tell my friends in the city to do that. Bill Henry's the controller of Baltimore City. He's about to eat a world-famous, delicious Fadley's Crab Cake. All of it brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery. Giving away the instant scratch-offs. We have people coming in right now. You want one, sir? Here you go. That might be Bill's, but I'll give you that. Bill, you get a different ticket now. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery and our friends at Window Nation, 866-90-NATION. Do you want to wear the funny hat? No, I would wear the funny hat. I love the hat. The floppy hat. I'll get on that. Peter Jensen from the Baltimore Sun is going to be here next. Peter, you've been as good a guest as Henry was? No chance. All right. Don't tune in. Come back in a half an hour. Pete's going to be here. We're going to be talking all things Baltimore and see if the curmudgeon agrees that the city's getting better. It's my favorite curmudgeon, Peter Jensen. I'm Nestor. We are at Fadley's, the old Fadley's, soon to be the new Fadley's, and we're in downtown Baltimore, the Charm City. Back for more on WNST right after this.